First, I thought I would distribute his one-page article published in the November-December issue of Soul magazine on the Holy Eucharist as the Whole Christ. And I would like to speak on the subject of the Blessed Virgin, the Mother of the Holy Eucharist. The Blessed Virgin, the Mother of the Holy Eucharist. Today's feast is that of St. Hilary, one of the early fathers of the Church and a great defender of the divinity of Christ. There are really two sides to our faith in Christ's divinity. On the one hand, we believe that the child whom Mary conceived and gave birth to, the one who lived for 30 years at Nazareth, who preached in Palestine, who suffered, died on the cross, and rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. The one part of our faith and the foundation of everything else is that man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the living God who became man. But then we go on. Having become man, was God's purpose in becoming man only as important as that was it only that he might be able to live on earth for some 30 years, suffer and die, and thus redeem the world, rise from the dead, and ascend into heaven, and leave us only the pleasant memory of having been in our midst on earth? Is that the only reason why God became man? No. Once God became man, he intends to remain man for all eternity. In our faith, we profess not only that God became man and was man, we believe that God became man and is man. When we are told, Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever, we mean it. Once God has become man, he will never cease being what he became, and remain such for all eternity. Let me go on. Having become man, was God's intention to become man? Then, having lived on earth, return to heaven, and there in heaven, wait, as he told us, until we too reach heaven. No. God, having become man, did indeed rise from the dead and ascend into heaven, but having become man, God decided to remain man on earth. In other words, Jesus Christ is now on earth. As I've told so many people, and you people so many times, having taught over 600 of my own fellow Jesuits their theology, and over the years taught so many priests, I can assure you, if there is one truth of the Catholic faith that we had better hold on to firmly, it is that God, having become man, having ascended into heaven, he is now on earth and intends to remain on earth until the end of time. Jesus Christ is here on earth in the fullness of his divinity and humanity. Now we ask ourselves, when we believe as we do in the Holy Eucharist, who do we believe is in the Holy Eucharist? In one simple declarative sentence, it is Jesus Christ. If you don't mind, that little slot in the middle of the page. When I wrote this article, I never expected that on January the 13th, 1990, I would make copies at our Jesuit copying machine at U of D and distribute these. But I figured can't lose. Let's read what we have in the middle of the page. Jesus is really now on earth in the Eucharist. It's he with no qualification. Jesus is really now on earth in the Eucharist. Jesus is really now on earth in the Eucharist. Jesus is really now at, by my clock, 9:22 in the morning. He is here. Jesus is really now on earth in the Eucharist. He is really now on earth in the Eucharist. And finally, he is really now on earth in the Eucharist. I could talk from January the 13th, 1990 until January the 13th, 1991, and I would not be exaggerating if I said this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Those six statements are the heart of the crisis in the Catholic Church today. The lowest estimate in the United States is we've lost 8,000 priests in America since the close of the Second Vatican Council. One of my own confreres from Detroit University left the order, left the priesthood this past spring. Whatever we meet, must be sure of. We must believe that when God became man, he instituted the Last Supper, not only the Holy Eucharist, he also instituted the priesthood. Because except for the priesthood, the apostles were ordained on Holy Thursday night at the Last Supper. There wouldn't be any Holy Eucharist. Christ would not now be on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. And if there is one thing that we priests pray in God's name, pray for us priests, pray for us bishops, that our faith in the real presence may remain firm. Everything else depends on that. Having said that, we go back to the title of our conference this morning. Mary, the Mother of the Holy Eucharist. What are we saying? Unless we understand as clearly as we can by the grace and intelligence we've got what it means that God became man and took on his human nature from a human mother, and that except for her, he wouldn't have him. And except for him, we would not have what he did on Holy Thursday night. I think it's 27 years that I taught theology to my Jesuit students. And at least half that time, I taught what we call sacramental theology. And if there is one thing that I tried to get through their intelligent skulls, by the way, the hardest skulls to penetrate are those of intellectuals. Did you know that? They're the thickest. They were either already priests or priests-to-be. Whatever else, I kept telling them, you better know so that then you will teach the people. Except for Mary, there wouldn't be any Eucharist. There wouldn't be any priesthood. There wouldn't be any Christianity. What are we saying? We mention this during the homily because it needs to be said. If I asked any of you, where is God? Mark, where is God? Where is God? Where is God?
In us.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. They call that his ubiquity.
What's that word
mean? Ubiquity. That's spelled U-B-I-Q-U-I-T-Y. Robert Hickson. What is the Latin adverb for everywhere? Ubique. Pardon me. Ubi is where. Ubique is everywhere. So from the Latin adverb ubique, which means everywhere, the church has coined its own vocabulary. English, as some of you by now must know, ad nauseam. Is English a Catholic language? What language do most Protestants in the world speak? English. We better Catholicize our language. We've got to pick up some vocabulary. Otherwise, we can be Catholics at heart and we'll be mouthing Protestantism. I love the Protestants. I've taught at their seminaries. But the Protestants are not Catholics. Back to where is God? Once more. Where is God?
Everywhere.
Ubique. Otherwise known as God's ubiquity. Now the next question. I'm too used to teaching classes. Even when I preach, I cannot help asking questions. Now, Lord, well, this is Hardin. I know him. He can do it. If God is everywhere, when our Lord was born at Bethlehem, and during his 33 some years visible stay in Palestine, was God then everywhere as man?
Yes.
Was he everywhere as man?
No.
Where was God present as man? Where? Where Jesus was. So God, who had been everywhere before the incarnation, did God remain to be everywhere as God?
Yes.
Yes, nothing changed. But when he became incarnate in Mary's womb and lived for 30 years on earth, God as man, the God-man, in whom, as St. Paul tells us, dwelt the fullness of the divinity. There was the God-man present. Well, where Jesus was present. Can we legitimately say that when the uncrushed child, after his birth, was nursed by his mother, can we see that God was being nursed by one of his creatures? Can we say that?
Yes.
Yes. When we hear that he looked over Jerusalem one day and wept, knowing that it would reject its Redeemer, and some 40 years after the crucifixion, that Jerusalem would be leveled to the ground. As I've told some of you, the Jewish historian Josephus says, when the Romans besieged Jerusalem, and the Jews would not give in, the Jews finally broke through the walls of Jerusalem, and the most unusual things they did. What did they do? The Romans, so Josephus says, cut down all the forest, all the trees around Jerusalem, and listen to this, they crucified, Josephus says, 90,000 Jews. That's history. No wonder Jesus wept over Jerusalem. No wonder in the eighth station. Where are we? Six, seven, eight. What does it read? Yeah. Jesus?
Jesus meets women of Jerusalem.
Okay. What do you tell the women? Don't weep over me, weep over yourselves and your children. He knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. During the Passion, remember on Good Friday, with the Jews shouted, "Crucify him." And then Pilate said, "I crucify your king. You've got no king but Caesar." And then remember, his blood be on us and on our children. It was. It was. And to this day, Temple Jerusalem for 1900 years has been wiped out. the last thing the Israelis think of doing is rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Do you hear me? That believing in Judaism, which God became man to save, was wiped out. This needs saying. When then Jesus expired on the cross, we believe, it's our faith, that God, in the person of Christ, died for our sins. That's our faith. And Our Lady, standing under the cross, fathers of the church tell us, she was spattered by the blood that her son was shedding on Calvary. But we know that he rose from the dead, not a specter, not a ghost, the real bodily Jesus Christ with flesh and blood. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. And now, when this is what I mainly want to share with you, did Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, did he leave the earth? No. That's what the Eucharist is all about. And I ask you to pray for us priests that our faith remain firm. That's why we are priests. So that the Christ who died on the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven might continue to remain on earth in the fullness of his divinity and the fullness of his humanity. Now the title of our conference. Mary, the Mother of the Eucharist. No words we can use, no matter how long I talk, I could not exaggerate the importance of associating two persons, Mary and Jesus. And by the way, in that sequence, they come back to where we, and I'm going to keep asking the questions, by the way, who can finish the sentence? The capacity of the human mind to forget is infinite. And the only way to ensure that his mind, with its infinite capacity to forget, will remember a little bit, is to keep repeating. Keep repeating. You're right in front of me, Mark. Where is God?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. We've got it.
Make up for the mistake.
God is everywhere. Where is God made man? Where is God now who became incarnate? In other words, where is Jesus Christ now? Where is he?
In the tabernacle.
He is? Where is he?
In there.
Is that the only place that he is? Please?
Inside us.
Well, okay. It's about 40 minutes since we went to communion.
I see.
You see, I have a problem. Let me repeat the question. Where is Jesus Christ, who is God and man? Where is he now? You're correct. He's in the tabernacle. Where else is he?
In heaven.
In?
Heaven.
In heaven. I was in the fourth grade, and once the sister was teaching me, well, teaching us in class, she asked a question. I wasn't quite sure of the answer, so as I gave her the answer, I raised my voice. I'll never forget. She said, "Johnny, if you know the answer, never raise your voice at the end." In heaven? Can I ask you the question again?
In heaven.
In heaven. Period. Drop your voice. We are talking about Mary, the mother of the Eucharist. By the way, may I ask you to read this? Would you not know, of course, but anybody got a copy, by the way? I photographed over 20 copies. You got a copy? Okay. And my former student, Father Frederick Miller, now keeps after me. If the article is overdue for Soul Magazine, he calls me up. "Father, you still have 48 hours to get the article in." And sometimes I even have to telephone the article in because I didn't get a chance to type it out and send it in. There's an awful lot packed in these pages. Four pages. One page. Let's go back to follow the logic. Before the incarnation, God was
everywhere.
But then we've got to add, God was and is everywhere as what? As
God.
Get it? And if I had to hit my Jesuit students' heads with a block of wood, although I'm sure you're not as sophisticated as they were, don't forget, God was everywhere before Mary said, "Be it done to me according to your word." God was everywhere on earth. Everywhere. Was God present as God as was God present as God in Mary before the Annunciation? Was he?
Yes.
Yes. Was God present as God in Joseph before the Incarnation?
Yes.
Was God present as God in the temple in Jerusalem?
Yes.
Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a temple. But the moment Mary said, "Be it done to me according to your word," God, who had been everywhere in creation as God, began, and that's the verb, began to be present on earth as man. Where? In the womb of his mother. And he remained there for 9 months, born on Christmas morning, as we believe in a stable. Was God present in that stable before Mary?
Yes.
Came to Bethlehem? Yes. Was he in the cattle, whatever kind they were, whether they were, what does a cow do?
Do you know the answer, Father?
Yeah, what is it?
Do you know the answer?
Okay. What's the verb for cows?
Moo.
Moo? Is a cow moo? Is that what a cow does?
Yes.
Okay. Was God in? Let's say they were cows. Or let's make them sheep. What do sheep do?
Bear.
They?
Bear.
They?
Bear.
Do they bay? Bear. Bay is. That's the noun. Was God in those sheep?
Yes.
in the sheep that the shepherds were tending on Christmas morning? Was God in those sheep? He better be, or there wouldn't be any sheep, wouldn't be any shepherds. Where was God on earth on Christmas morning as man? Only in that child that Mary just gave birth to. And that is the Eucharist. He then lived for 30 years. The night before he died, he took ordinary bread, pronounced